Hey everybody, a lot of you wanna work with VaynerMedia. Good news, we're hiring. We're hiring creators, specifically right now, and we'll keep updating this promo throughout the year. Video and design capable individuals. People that have good ideas and would know what to do if we needed to sell watermelon or bubble gum or soap or wine or sneakers. We're looking for video and image creators. Think about the stuff I put out on Instagram, that kind of stuff. Are you scrappy? Are you hungry? GaryVee.com/creators with an S. Go fill out the form. Please join our team at VaynerX, because I think some of these people are going to go into 137. Some are going to go to Vayner Talent, mainly for VaynerMedia, and maybe the occasional person for Team Gary V. If you want to join the VaynerX family, please go check out, specifically right now for VaynerMedia, though we save the resumes and we move them around, to GaryVee.com/creators with an S.
This is the Gary V audio experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is a compilation of 5 ways that businesses can transform during the coronavirus pandemic. This list is completely made up of tea from Gary V conversations from April. Enjoy.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing good, hanging in there. Where are you from? I'm from the Jersey Shore, so kind of close to you. Yeah. So I wanted to tell you how I actually found you. You showed up on my Instagram Explore, like maybe over the summer, and it was when you were doing yard sailing. So that's kind of like my business. That's what I started out doing. I grew up from a teen mom. So I lived with my grandparents, and my mom, we were good. Things were covered, but like at the end of the month, there wasn't always a lot left over. So we were always like super, always out like at the flea markets or just trying to make things work. I wouldn't say I was like entrepreneurial. And then I went to college for advertising. And then it was like my senior year, we were leaving. And I noticed people were throwing furniture away on the curb at the end of the year. And I was like, my neighbor who had a pickup truck, I just grabbed all the furniture. I brought it home and I sold it on Craigslist. And like some of it I painted, some of it I sold it as is. And then I was like, this is insane.
And so this is fun.
Yeah. So I worked in corporate America for 10 years, but like painting furniture and reselling it on Craigslist. And now Facebook Marketplace was always like my side hustle.
Your side hustle.
Yeah. And then 3 years ago I had my son and I was like, oh man, I don't want to leave and go to work and then come home and be miserable. So I'm just going to like go full force into my business. Okay. So I did. Yeah. So it kind of went from like painting furniture and just posting it on Craigslist to like, you know, kind of getting a little bit of notoriety in my town. And then I was taking on commission work. And then I was looking for places to get like stuff to put on my furniture to take pictures. So then I kind of got into antiques and it kind of like spiraled. And then I was like, maybe I should open a brick and mortar store. But then I was like, I don't know. It's all a big commitment. So then I found an antique mall actually in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. So I pay them rent and I have a booth there. And I was like, yes, this is so smart and strategic. I've been biding my time. I'm only paying like $550 a month on my rent. I don't have to be there. I don't have to worry about sales. I can just get my stuff, bring it there, do the stuff I love, which is hunting for the stuff and being creative. And then coronavirus happened and my store closed and I still have to come up with my rent. And I'm like, I can't go to the flea markets. I can't go to anywhere, and we're kind of just like stuck in the house, and I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? Yeah. And like my art, and like, and I know you get it because I saw it in your face when you were like going to flea markets. Like it's like the thrill of the hunt. Like you must be client. Like it's like I'm gonna pull, like you pull something out and you're like, this was $2. I could sell this for 50. And like I can't do that anymore. So it's almost like you're like a caged animal.
I mean, I'm so devastated that we're gonna miss, you know, townwide garage sale season here in Jersey for April and May. You can't even imagine. It's like running through my mind left and right. Couple things stand out. One, you can definitely garage sale in your own home.
Okay.
I think people are, you know, it's unlikely that you have as much stuff as most people because you actually get it. So, you know,
I bring in the house. My husband's like, I don't get used to anything because I know you're going to sell it out from under me. Like,
yeah, I love you for that. So one, and I mean this, really going through everything that's in the house and maybe getting a little bit of that flip life out of your system. But two, I have a little bit of an idea, Lens. I think that you can create a little $15 or $20 course on how, and I think your angle is like flipping and creativity. I think you can put together, you know, an 80, 90 page PDF.
Okay.
Right. And then also layer and then market it like this. Hey, I've created an 85 page book and I'm doing a once a week, 1 hour Zoom or Google Hangout.
Okay.
And it costs $90 and you get the book. And you get me for, you know, for four sessions or however you want to play it. Maybe you build up the momentum and launch it in a month because it's take you some time to put the PDF together.
Okay.
I think what you do, which is a little bit more Etsy thrift store creative. It's not just what I do, which is like buy stuffed animals, sell stuffed animals.
Yeah. But,
you know,
you're doing
a lot of creativity and the DIY world, you know. I was laughing when you said, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm like, you are an entrepreneur and a creative one. And so my intuition is you have the potential of having a community through your inbox, your email. What I mean by that, your cell phone numbers, your texts. I don't know what you do on social, if you've got a little bit of following anywhere,
yeah,
but I think if
decent following.
I think if you put out like, hey, here's an $89 program where you get an 80 page PDF, 60, 40, 112, and you get 4 1-hour sessions with me live, you know, in the month from mid-April to mid-May. I have a funny feeling you would do really well.
Okay. I just worry because my audience now is like super local to the Jersey Shore, people that I've met at like markets that I've done. And they're like,
but
looking to buy from me. Like they, and then at the same time,
Yeah, but you don't know how many of them want to be an entrepreneur and want to do what you're doing. And the fact that you're giving away all your best advice and Q&A access. And not to mention that, okay, so Pam in Red Bank sees it, but then she tags her sister Susan in Australia, who's been wanting to do something like this and is creative. And she puts her username in the comments. And then she's the one that actually buys the $89 you know, ebook and access.
Okay.
It is a good point.
And then like, in terms of like, I just feel awkward right now, like hawking pieces that I'm working on. Like,
yeah, you know? I think you just write the copy up front, which is like, first and foremost, I hope everybody's healthy. I have no, you know, obviously all of us are going through this struggle. So please, before you even look at this desk, you know that I'm super empathetic and care about everybody first and foremost, but at the same token, I'm also trying to provide for my family. And so here's my desk. I think if you write the hedge in the first two sentences, I think it will help you.
Okay, cool. I'll give it a shot.
All right, good luck.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it. Bye-bye. Wow. Hi, Jules.
Hi, are you there? Nice to see you.
It's great to see you. This is fun. How you doing?
I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm really well. Thank you for asking.
Good.
Family's well? Everybody's hanging in?
Yeah, we're in the mountains in Colorado, and I'm natural recluse, so I'm doing good.
I'm glad. Yeah. My team was trying to keep this a secret, but I saw something, so I knew you were coming, so I'm super excited that you're here.
Right on. I appreciate it. Likewise.
You have any questions?
Not particularly.
Good. You going to play a little music?
Yeah. Oh, are we on and live? Sorry.
We are on and live.
Very cool. Yeah, I've been just thinking about how are people doing. When I look at this pandemic, I really see it as this threefold thing. I see the virus is obviously one pillar, and then economic fallout, which I don't think we've quite gotten a grip on of what that's going to be. And then the mental health fallout. Suicides
really
tend to nearly double during recessions, and that's never been during a pandemic or during isolation. Suicide hotlines are up 300%. I have a youth foundation where all we do is help kids with suicidal ideation. What have you seen in like in your comments and in your fans talking out their anxiety?
That I think a lot of people are struggling. And so I have seen a little bit of a silver lining. I've spoken to a couple people who are getting help through this kind of interaction through video, which they thought, similar to me with meetings, they thought they needed to be in the room with their person, whoever that may be. And they've been able to get the value through this, which makes it feel scalable, which one fan who I've gotten friendly with, you know, now feels that she can travel because she can do it on the laptop versus being in the room. And so, like everything, there's always the pros and the cons, but yes, there's a lot of anxiousness. And I think to your point, the ramifications on the economy post this, there's a lot of people out of jobs, / consumer behavior will change forever. So, what don't we know? You know, what don't we know that has changed forever in retail, in restaurant, in travel? I mean, you can imagine a world that even 24 months from now, travel is down 20 to 35%, or hotels or conferences. Yeah. So there's just a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah, my main concern is trying to help people. We're going to come out of this one of two ways. We're going to be more resilient, more capable. We're going to say, these are ideas that no longer serve me, beliefs and systems and functions.
That's real.
These are ones that are going to replace them because I've used this time to be really thoughtful. Or people are going to become so anxious and so worried, which is understandable. But if we don't understand what to do with worry and anxiety, it's going to escalate into pathologies. And I could foresee a world where many people come out of this more afraid, more scared, more disempowered.
They will for a certain period of time in certain ways. You know, I mean, look what 9/11 did to a lot of people. Completely changed their frameworks, their political views, their anxieties. So yeah, I mean, this is a real world event. This will be this will be talked about hundreds of years after we're gone. So this is real stuff. This is real
stuff. Yeah, for me, with the kids, so I've been working with kids for 18 years, the youth foundation called Inspiring Children. And I give them a toolkit of mindfulness and motion tools. So mindfulness has two components in my eyes, meditation, which is one. And then you have to create exercise. It's like the gym. If you go to the gym, you build a muscle, that's great. But unless you use that muscle during the day, it's not going to change your life. Meditation is the same way. Meditation actually builds a muscle. They've learned in 8 weeks, it can grow new folds in your frontal lobes and shrink your amygdala where anxiety lives. But if you don't put that muscle to work, it isn't going to change your life. So the tools that I developed, I actually developed them while I was homeless, but they were recently proven to work by a neuroscientist named Dr. Judson Brewer to help rewire your brain thanks to neuroplasticity, which is just a fancy way of saying you starve old habits and you build new ones. So the kids and I put the tools up on a free website called jewelneverbroken.com.
Jewelneverbroken.com?
Yeah, jewelneverbroken.com. And it's free 3-minute exercises that actually will help rewire you. And one of the main things I wanted to just, because I know we don't have a ton of time, but I just wanted to kind of put this in people's ears that there's only two basic states of being. There's dilated and then there's contracted. Both are important, but when you do them at the wrong time, it can be really uncomfortable. So joy, gratitude, curiosity, observation helps you dilate, relax. And that's actual neurological, neurotransmitter, and vascular. Everything changes. Contraction is anxiety, fear, doubt, anger, etc. And you can't be in two states at once. So the best hack that I ever learned for anxiety for me when I was homeless, my car I was living in got stolen. It was awful. I was having panic attacks, agoraphobia. And I learned that if I was heading into a highly anxious state, I could feel my whole body constrict. I just had to profoundly make myself have a thought or a feeling that dilated me. And I always used gratitude. Your vascular system dilates, your neurotransmitters change. It's really profound. And no matter how little you have, there is something to be grateful for. So there's an exercise that kind of helps you practice that on the website. But I wrote a song called Grateful just because I felt like that was the medicine that
I'm a fan of that
one. Helped me. And I know you're big on gratitude. By the way, what you're doing with the All In is incredible. That's amazing. It's been so awesome.
It's been really fun. I think I want to enter all those raffles. So,
I know. Right, I need to step up my game. Like, I don't even know what I can offer. That's cool. There's such cool packages.
I'll hit you up after this. You could do amazing things. You could have the one. Can you play? Can you play a little bit of it? And then I'm gonna get to some of the questions before I get off.
Yep.
Thanks, Jill. This is fun.
When everything's wrong. When I can't find my song. When darkness is all I see. There is a remedy. Cause it's all the little things that make the world go round. It's all the little things that are almost powerful. There's no politician, no scout to die. No one can take the love from my heart. And the sun gonna shine in this heart of mine. The sun gonna shine in this heart of mine. The sun gonna show its strong. Cause I can always be grateful.
Too good. Too good. You are so amazing. Jewel, thank you so much for being on. Let's throw that website up one more time, Dustin. Jewel, what's the website one more time for everybody?
JewelNeverBroken.com. And I just launched the song, Grateful, if people want to check it out.
We are going to check it out. Jewel, love you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you. Bye-bye. All right, Shen. Shen Zaloon, you got it. You asked me, I'm your 16th fucking follower. Big ups to Costa Rica. Celeste.
Hey, what's up?
How are things?
Good. I work out of my home, so everything's kind of the same inside. It just feels really weird and ominous outside. So I just wanted to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on here and for everything that you're doing and how many people you help just daily. So I own a small business I have for 5 years. Without risking, seeming insensitive, with everything that's going on, what I would want to know from like your perspective is like, what is the positive, like what is the most positive thing that's going to come out of this? Cause like, I know for me, you know, I definitely feel impacted. My business feels impacted and it's a little bit uncertain and a little scary. Moving forward, that's how I pay my bills. And, you know, it's been a really like rough 5 years with, you know, like this trough of sorrow with owning your own business. And, I'm finding like a lot of like inspiration in, trying to like be of service in any way, like, because I don't have kids that aren't in daycare. I don't have kids that I have to homeschool. Like I'm not I'm impacted obviously, but I'm not like suffering. And so I see it as like an opportunity to like reevaluate.
Celeste, real quick. So you don't put guilt on you, because I appreciate the energy you're coming with. Not like a shocking amount of people aren't.
Right. An
extraordinary amount of people are loving this vacation because they're getting paid. Yeah. An extraordinary amount of people don't have responsibilities. An extraordinary amount of people's businesses are thriving because they sell food on the internet and people are buying more. So don't worry about, don't beat yourself up for worrying about you and potentially even seeing opportunity. That's okay. You're supposed to worry about you.
Right.
And you can have compassion and sympathy and empathy for others. I see nothing but opportunity for 4 hours. And then I go on for 15 minutes with my admin and we send a bunch of masks to hospitals because right. I can afford it. And if you can't, that's also fine. You just saying prayers and calling people and checking in. You going to your phone right now and texting 5 people that used to be friends or acquaintances of yours that you haven't talked to in 4 years and just saying, hey, taking advantage of this time to like see how you're doing and just sending a little love and showing that you care. That's powerful. So don't beat yourself up. Let's start there.
Right.
Okay. And
it's tough because it's like, I do, you know, when you do something that is not for like just the benefit of you or your business or whatever, like, you know, you do feel good. So, you know, exactly what you're saying, not feel guilt in a lot of ways that you're not like, you know, super impacted.
I listened to the things I was saying and I saved money, which allowed me to do nice things like I'm doing right now for hospitals and workers and different things and employees and all the things I'm doing. Other people either were silly and bought dumb shit, or just never went to a place where they had too much college debt or something horrible happened. They didn't save. And so but they want to do something good. They can do positive things. I'm telling you, texting old friends and saying hello and thinking about you and caring about you is a great deed. And putting out good karma into the universe is a great deed. So everybody can do stuff. So we've put that on the side. What can I help you with for you?
So thanks. So I guess having said all that and kind of realizing that there is a lot of opportunity despite like the crisis that everyone's kind of facing is like, for me, like I've noticed, so I'm a small business and I'm very supportive of other, my friends and just people that I know that are customers of mine that also have small businesses. Like I've been encouraging people to go and tag their small business or one that they love or their friends like on my page. And like I've been
you'll appreciate this. Guilting/inspiring is not something that's going to do overwhelmingly well.
Right.
You know, by the way, that's not to discourage you because you're doing a wonderful act. I just want to give you the mindset of humans right now. Like I'm watching all these people like support your small business. And then I'm watching and reading and paying attention and people are like, that's cool, but I don't want to fucking buy, you know, a pizza right now. I'm fucking scared shitless about right. like my business, my job. You know what I mean? Like, so just keep that in mind. It's almost like, you know, just keep that in mind.
So, and that's like the thin line that I'm walking. So my business is like, I design and I sell women's athletic, like athleisure apparel. And I rebranded at the end of last year and I used to just be like a regular e-com store. And so now I do limited edition releases. So the concept, it allows me to be able to design and be.
Let me ask you a question. Can you afford to do a drop where you give the profits to, you know, nurses and doctors?
I don't think I can afford to do
some of it.
Yeah.
I would design something right now that incorporates like maybe, you know, like the, I guess the Red Cross, you know, like the, you know, like incorporates that whole movement. I bet you that could be some sort of viral moment and could really build awareness for you. You survive your overhead and rent and all that. You feel amazing because you've given a donation to your local hospital, right? Because even if it's $500, you buy $500 worth of masks and you donate. Giving is what you can afford to give. I used to give $9 and now I don't, I give more, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, it changes. And it's also a thing that can build brand for you because people are appreciative that you're stepping up, which then may lead to business when we get out of here. So that might be a model to think about, especially if you made the athleisure design as a pre-sale limited edition drop that incorporated what's going on right now. Maybe a mask's in it. Maybe that, you know, you see where I'm going?
Yeah. That's awesome. That's like such a dope idea. And that's like kind of what I was looking for, something to like, be, you know, get behind without it being insensitive.
Well, so that's what Tea with Gary Vee is fucking all about.
It's fucking awesome.
it's how I live. I live in the macro, the clouds, the mindset, and then in the dirt, right? The tactics. I play back and forth. Some of this stuff, as you've been watching, is for people here. For you right now, I'm super pumped because that's a real tactic that's gonna fucking work. And that's gonna work. And God forbid, AKA God willing, somebody in news is gonna see that local news thing and have you on a Zoom and talk about why you did it. Like, there's something really big on this idea. I hope you do it ASAP.
Fuck yeah. Thank you so much. That's so dope.
You're welcome, sis.
I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Joel, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm quite well.
Good.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I enjoyed reading a little bit in your biography about how as a child you became an entrepreneur. I had the same experience. I was 11 when I started my first business.
I love that. What were you doing?
I was delivering fresh vegetables that I'd grown around the neighborhood. I hired my little brother to take them around the neighborhood in a red radio flyer wagon.
I love that. How you been hanging in?
Yeah, pretty well, all things considered. I mean, the airline industry is a tough one. I'm in a bunch of other businesses as well, but the airline business is particularly hard hit. Airlines, hotels, cruise ships, I think are the three toughest.
I think that's right. What can I help you with?
Just eager to talk with you about whatever you want to talk about.
You know, I'm kind of in a place where I think there's an enormous amount of opportunity You know, I think that right now everyone's got to kind of settle into their realities. You know, I think they have to cross their T's and dot their I's. But for me, all I want to talk about is offense and optimism.
That's such a great message. I think it's going to reshuffle the deck. I think the people that are the most creative, have the most ingenuity, are best grounded in principles. I've just written this book called The Entrepreneurial Leader, which I think is going to be required of everyone, is to be more entrepreneurial. More presiders, no more managers, no more administrators. It's really going to require leaders to be entrepreneurial.
And that goes in my mind as creative. You've got to just rethink. You know, the status quo is extremely dangerous when innovation is required, and this moment requires enormous innovation, rethinking, and most of all, humility. Many are going to struggle going back into the world and not having the same amount of money, the same amount of status, the same amount of cush opportunity. You know, organizations that go from 800 to 437 are going to require all 437 to work, where at 800, they had the fat to get away with being in meetings.
Yep. I think that's exactly right. I think it's going to require a lot of things of people. One of the things that I think leaders are going to have to do better is communicate more directly, bad news as well as good news, before, during, and after the fact. I actually think it's going to require people to be kinder.
I think that's right.
I don't think people don't think about that, but I think there are a lot of people who are vulnerable. And I think a word of kindness, you know, dropping somebody a note, giving them a call, checking up on them, making sure they're okay. And I think volunteering, I've given blood a couple of times. I'm scheduled to give blood another time here. And I think you kind of lose yourself in helping others. I think that's a good way to get through these kinds of crises.
I think that's right, my friend. I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, have a great, great day, Joe.
All right, take care. All right, bye now.
Gary, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Jimmy?
Not much, man. Just super grateful for everything that you do. So my question basically is that I play and coach baseball. So the back end of that is I played all through college my whole life, everything. Had a really successful college career, was all American, all conference, the whole nine. But and then I figured I might as well do what I should do, right? And I went and worked a corporate job, fucking crushed it, but was massively unfulfilled. So said, fuck that. Sold my car, took a one-way flight to Southeast Asia and just traveled for a while. Then I came back and was like, I missed the game. Started coaching, started training, and within a matter of months, signed a professional contract to go to France.
For you.
And then with all that, basically, coronavirus happened. My flight was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. So now I'm just kind of trying to figure it out. But in the meantime, during COVID, I've built a pretty decent but really targeted audience around baseball, over 22,000 followers on TikTok. All thanks to you, because you've been screaming out the fucking top of the mountaintops.
Like fucking yelling.
Yeah, you've been yelling, bro. So anything else that you say, anything you're fucking yelling, I'm going to do it. All in challenge, bought. Fucking
thank you.
Multiple. Thank but you my question is
which raffles did you buy into?
I bought into yours and I bought into Michael Rubin's. I mean, those are both just like ridiculous value. Are you fucking kidding me, bro?
Bro, you might want to buy at least one ticket for $10 on the Cuban one. You could literally be in an NBA game.
Gnarly. Yeah, I just got tenacious defense, though. The jumper is not there. It's not so there. Like,
they're just going to let you in at the last minute of the game and everyone's going to hug you and they're going to pull you back out. So
I love that. But my question is, now that I've kind of built this targeted audience, I'm struggling with what do I do next? Is it too late to get in the podcast game, YouTube, Twitch? Like I'm on TikTok. Yes, I'm on TikTok live right now. Yeah, and I've been playing MLB The Show and they're like, hey, you need to make Twitch. So I've done that in the last week and built that over 100 followers, got subs going and stuff on that. I've just been listening to the audience.
All in.
All in. So
Jimmy, all of it.
Yes, the answer is yes, right?
The answer is yes. The answer is you're a young man. It's always the right time to jump in. You didn't miss YouTube. You didn't miss TikTok. I've been yelling about TikTok for 4 years, Musical.ly, then TikTok. Like, you didn't miss Instagram. It gets harder to get big bases. TikTok's the only place you can go to 22K like that. Only place.
Absolutely.
But the reality is going nice and slow on Twitch 100 at a time or on YouTube 100 at a time is good too. Because don't forget, it's not how many subscribers you have. It's the right subscriber.
Absolutely.
Like, one executive at the MLB network sees you, and the next thing you know, you're signing an $800,000 contract to be on TV, or a high net worth father who thinks his three boys are the next coming of the Alus, you know, and they're, you know, like, it's not how many subscribers you have, it's which subscribers you have.
Yeah, true fans. Absolutely.
Not only true fans, the one person that can change your life by reaching out.
Yeah.
You're a good looking dude. Somebody might just reach out to you and be like, I want you on TV.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But and if you have time for one more question,
real fast.
I understand that it definitely is the long game, but how would you recommend about going about potentially getting brand deals on TikTok, especially with baseball being a super traditionalist?
Not yet. I get it. You probably have a need for money and different things of that nature, but I promise you, you have to. I'd rather you sell that Kobe and Jordan thing on fucking eBay right now. Like,
you have to.
But listen to me, sell those fucking candles. Like, I don't give up, sell your hoodie. Do not go for brand deals. Keep building to the audience so they have more leverage. People go in for the brand deal too early. It fucks them up. It changes the relationship. Their energy goes to brand deals instead of making great content, and they get fucking killed.
Gotcha. Hey, thank you so much. Like I said, super grateful for everything that you do. Take care.
Take care of yourself. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Just Fantastic by Zag. This is content that delivers a perspective that everyone should peek through. Help me realize where I am, where I want to be, and how to get there. Listened for 2 years daily, and I feel I have a much better view of my life and its track with the help of this content. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.